Saster. To read more about his work, you can visit www.dahrjamailiraq.com. Or you can also visit truthout.org, where he publishes his work. And that brings us to the end of the first half of this word of mouth news for Friday, September the 10th. On the other side of the glass, we have Don Weitz, who is returning for Anti-Psychiatry Radio, which took a very brief hiatus during the end of the summer. But he is here, and we are looking forward to his report. So keep it locked on 88.1 FM.
No? And thank you very much, Susie. Yes, I am back. And your proud Anti-Psychiatry Radio host, Don Weitz, for those of you who don't know. Just a reminder, the second and fourth Thursday of every month at 6:30 p.m. as part of Word of Mouth. And that's when I'm on. And this is sort of a, yes, this is, I come on pretty darn strong and with good reasons, and you'll hopefully find out and agree. For this special show, this is September the 10th, 2010, I'm going to start with a critique, some critical comments on one of the most dangerous drugs in psychiatry, if not medicine today, and that, my friends, is Zyprexa, otherwise known by the chemical name olanzapine. Now, this drug, manufactured by Eli Lilly and approved by the Food and Drug Administration of the United States, unfortunately, for use on patients, in 1996, but in 2003, Health Canada, which is sort of like a clone of the regulatory agency in the U.S., the Food and Drug Association, approved its use for so-called bipolar. Let me read you the blurb that you can access online from Health Canada, which colluded, which it often does, with drug companies to write its semi-accurate statements about the warnings. So, Eli Lilly, following discussions with Health Canada, would like to inform you of important new safety information pertaining to, get this, cerebrovascular adverse events. That's like having a stroke or in the brain or a blood clot we're talking about. This is what this drug can cause, among other things, that have occurred in elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis treated with Zyprexa in clinical trials, which, by the way, we're not allowed to see the results of clinical trials. That's a secret. That's my comment. So the statement from Health Canada goes on. Zyprexa is not approved for use in elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis, but it's okay for everybody else. Is that right? So even though that it can cause stroke and blood clots that can kill you if you're maybe over 60 or 65, it's supposedly okay for people much younger. This is what this blurb wants you to believe. Okay. So elderly patients are at an increased risk. At least they admit that. And then they say physicians are advised to assess the risks and benefits of the use of Zyprexa in elderly patients with dementia, take into account risk predictors for stroke in the individual patients. Physicians should counsel their patients, which they rarely do because you never get straight, detailed answers about the effects of most psychiatric drugs. This is well known among psychiatric survivors and other critics. Okay. such as if you're weak, have weakness or numbness in the face, arms or legs, and speech, have speech or vision problems, you don't want to take this one. Rather, you will know that that is a serious so-called cerebral vascular accident caused by Zyprexa. Of course, there are other psychiatric drugs that can cause similar reactions. Then they go on. This is Health Canada. There is insufficient information to determine whether cerebral vascular accident events in elderly patients with dementia are associated. Oh, I see. So now they backtrack and say, well, we don't have conclusive evidence. Yeah, well, that's what they often say about the effects of electroshock, the brain damage almost always caused by electroshock. So they, you know, it's a soft kind of warning from Health Canada. And by the way, when Health Canada issues warnings about psychiatric drugs, most others, they do it with ghost writers or from the drug company that manufactures the controversial drug. So there's no real independence here. It's a nice conflict of interest. Yes. So let me wind up a little bit more about the Health Canada blurb. For those of you who don't know, Health Canada is the official regulatory agency for all medical devices, all medical products in Canada. They don't have a black box category like the U.S., which means an absolute no-no. That is the most serious warning category in the United States, to have a black box, but there's no such category in Health Canada. Then they go on. Finally, I should say, Zyprexa should be used with particular caution in patients and with known heart or cardiovascular disease, a history of heart failure, and conditions which would predispose patients to hypotension. And that's just about it about the warning that came out in 2004. Now, there happens to be, I'm pleased to say, a class action lawsuit, it's about time, against Eli Lilly for manufacturing this brain-damaging, health-threatening drug that has already killed many people in Canada, in the United States, and other countries. I'm going to read a media advisory that from some of the lawyers from a law firm that's involved in the class action. There are not that many class action suits, I can tell you, against psychiatry in Canada or the U.S. I wish there were more. So here's the deal here. A settlement, okay, that means lots of people are going to get some money. Okay, only if you meet these conditions. So I'll read excerpts of the media advisory of this last June. Settlement approved in Zyprexa class actions in Canada. Settlement agreement in the Canadian Zyprexa class action has now been approved by the Canadian courts. The class actions were brought on behalf of Canadian patients who used the antipsychotic Zyprexa prior to June 6, 2007. So if you've taken Zyprexa before June 6, 2007, and as you'll find out, had some pretty serious medical conditions following it, you can join the class and maybe get some money. So I'll go on. Who used Zyprexa prior to June 6, 2007 in respect of allegations that the defendants, Eli Lilly of Canada and Eli Lilly and Company, they're the manufacturers, sold Zyprexa without properly warning of alleged increased risks of developing diabetes and related disorders such as hyperglycemia, that's too much blood, too much sugar in the blood, and ketoacidosis and pancreatitis. So the pancreas, the maker of insulin, which is extremely important gland, that can be affected. You can have a disease from that by taking this drug. The defendants, that's Eli Lilly, deny these allegations and deny any wrongdoing or liability. The allegations may not have been proven in court, and the court has not taken any position as to the truth or merits of the claims. Anyway, I'll skip down here and read some of the comments from the lawyers and the media release who are involved in the class action. We are very pleased with this result, that is, the class action can go ahead, and look forward to moving ahead with the implementation of this compensation program, quote, says Michael Izenga, one of the class counsel responsible for negotiating the settlement. Quote, we would like to commend the defendants for putting this comprehensive program in place for the Canadians. So that's a sort of a little pat, on the head to Eli Lilly. They're willing to settle and pay out some money for a change after they've probably ruined the health and lives of thousands. And here's a nice denial, though, by John Rudolph, chief legal counsel for Eli Lilly, who said, well, while we believe the allegations that's of harm and serious, like diabetes and pancreatitis and so forth, are without merit, get that, Lilly is taking this difficult step, that's of settling, because we believe it is in the best interest of the company as well as the Canadian patients, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, listen, here's the deal. Now I'm going to go to an update from Matthew Baer, whom I've been in touch with, who's one of the key lawyers who's representing a lot of Canadian patients in this class action against Eli Lilly. And he has kindly sent me this information, that to be eligible to make a claim, that is you, if you took Zyprexa, okay, prior to June 6, 2007, okay, you must meet the following criteria. You must be a Canadian resident. You must have started Zyprexa, as I just said, before June 6, 2007. Have used Zyprexa for at least 90 days, 3 months. 4, have developed, and this is important, if you developed after taking Zyprexa diabetes or one of the other related blood sugar disorders while using Zyprexa or within 1 year of when you stopped using Zyprexa. It's also possible to make a claim if you had pre-existing diabetes that was made worse by Zyprexa. So to get a claim, call the claims administrator. Now, please, if you have a pen and paper, please write these important contact dates down. If you want to join the class and you think you meet the criteria I just read out, here's the number to call, toll-free, 1-877-739-8933. And I'll repeat that. Toll-free number, 1-877-739-8933. Or go to the website www.classaction.ca, which also has a lot more information about the lawsuit. So they can call. Also, you can call the law firm itself toll free at 1-800-461-6166. That's 1-800-461-6166. That's Siskinds is the law firm. And if you want to email lyawyer Matthew Baer directly, who's one of the key lawyers, or perhaps the lead lawyer here in this class action, it's Matthew Baer, Matthew with two T's, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, dot Baer spelled B for Baker, A-E-R, Matthew.Baer, B-A-E-R, at Siskinds, spelled S-I-S-K-I-N-D-S.com. Okay, so Yeah, this is very, very, very important. And it's one of the few class action cases I have ever heard against a drug company, although one other, I understand, another lawsuit is about to surface against GlaxoSmithKline, the maker of Paxil, what I call the suicide drug, which triggers suicidal ideas in you. But I just thought I'd emphasize for the show tonight, Zyprexa. So if you've been prescribed Zyprexa, be very careful. This is one of the most vicious drugs on the market. It can cause brain damage, and I'm not kidding you, and it can screw up your digestive system. And if you're pregnant, you don't want to start, because it will cause breathing problems in your baby, in newborn. This is all documented. I'm not telling anything that I can't back up. So this is a warning, and there are always alternatives to drugs, friends. That's one other show. I've already mentioned some, but certainly staying on drugs like Zyprexa and Prozac and others, it's Russian roulette. And I don't think anybody wants to play Russian roulette with their body and life. So we'll take a break. And Mark's got some CD. My trusty technician here, Mark, will play something. And then I'm going to come back with a tremendously encouraging, empowering victory that we have. And I'll tell you about it soon. Okay, Mark, take it away.
I'm going crazy, laughing with the people I meet. Bob, Red, Blue, Jake, Queen Street, 1,000 a month. Bay Street, John Street, loan me a dollar. Looking in the window of City TV.
I'm going crazy, walking down Queen Street. I'm going crazy, laughing with the people I meet.
Hookers, lookers, Parkdale people sound. Homeless, hopeless, down and out lonely. People on the street just trying to survive.
I'm going crazy, walking down Green Street. I'm going crazy, laughing with the people I meet. Andrew.
Lawyers, cops, and robbers. Everybody loves Queen Street.
Going crazy, walking down Queen Street. I'm going crazy, laughing with the people I meet.
Horseshoe, bamboo, big box, frilly. Green hair, black clothes, wearing lots of leather.
Thank you, Mark, for playing that, Roger Ellis, a noted Juno Award winner, 2 or 3-time Juno Award winner, a folk singer. Roger Ellis, a good friend of mine, composed that about Queen Street, and that also, let's face it, one of the worst psycho prisons in Canada is located there on Queen and Shaw. Now known as CAMH, which I won't get into right now, but that is a special shout out to Roger and to Stuart Mayer, who played the flute in that. And in fact, Stuart, I think, wrote that. So thank you. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about a very important victory, and we don't often get them. among psychiatric survivors or in the anti-psychiatry movement, but here it is. Basically what happened in the last 48 hours is we stopped a woman from being forcibly drugged. Well, she was locked up for 3 years on bullshit, bogus charges, probably. I don't know all the exact facts, but, you know, you don't have to do much to end up in a psychiatric facility or psychoprism. And what her name, that many of us spoke out and wrote out and helped put pressure on the hospital authorities and the governor of Pennsylvania to free Geetha Ratnamala. Geetha Ratnamala, 31 years old, born in India, and lives in the United States. And she was forcibly drugged, for God's sake, for 3 years. Thanks to the intervention after she contacted Mind Freedom International, of which Kappa is a supporter. I'll tell you a little bit about Kappa at the end, is that Mind Freedom Geetha Ratnamala phoned the Mind Freedom office from the ninth floor of Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where she was locked up since August 11th, 2010, although she had been forcibly drugged before then for some years. She said her psychiatrist, Colleen E. Bell, had prescribed the powerful neuroleptic Risperdal, and Risperdal, by the friends, like Zyprexa, can also cause diabetes and serious heart problems, and ordered it administered against her will. This psychiatrist forcibly drugged her, and the drugging began this time on August 24th. Miss Ratnamala has been registered and so forth. Anyway, she's with the SHIELD registry, which is a very proactive and advocacy arm of Mind Freedom International, which is a coalition of well over 100 psychiatric survivor and human rights groups in 14 countries. And they intervene to help people like Geetha, who are being harmed or about to be harmed with drugs, forced drugging, electroshock, and other coercive psychiatric procedures. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this about Geetha. She is a survivor of forced psychiatric procedure from 3 years ago, and found this current incarceration, what I call psychiatric imprisonment, very traumatic. I'm not surprised. She said, quote, "I've learned that you can't force people to be well. When you cage them up and force them to be well, you cause more harm than good." Amen to that. You're right on, Geetha. You're absolutely right. And I just want to read also something about what her boyfriend wrote in trying to get her out, but just a couple things that she was... this is from Rajit Kishore Patel. She's been highly cooperative. He's talking about Geetha with the staff and the doctors. She poses no threat to herself or others, yet they drugged her. Still, they're really pushing for her to take medications, but she has strongly declined while still maintaining a cooperative attitude. She was forcibly medicated 3 years ago, and it not only took time to cleanse and heal physically, but she still holds pain and memory from the last experience. And he doesn't know what he can do. He says, "I don't want what to do." But with the support of Mind Freedom International and other groups, including Kappa, we helped put the pressure on. And here's a letter. I'm very proud to say that chair of the Coalition Against Psychiatric Assault, Kappa, the chair, Dr. Bonnie Burstow, sent to Governor Rendell, "I am writing to strongly protest against the forced drugging of Ms. Geetha Ratnamala. Ms. Ratnamala is a 31-year-old woman currently incarcerated and drugged against her will in Western Psychiatric Institute and Clinic in Pittsburgh. I understand she's being forcibly drugged with the extremely dangerous neuroleptic Risperdal. For your further information, Risperdal is known to cause dementia, stroke, diabetes, and death. A recent analysis of the drug's manufacturer of trials involving patients with dementia suggests that the use of risperidone, that's the other name for Risperdal, may be associated with increased rates of cerebrovascular adverse events, in other words, brain damage, including stroke. Forcing Ms. Ratnamala to take Risperdal or any other drug against her will or without her informed consent is unethical. And it constitutes psychiatric assault and probably criminal assault. I urge you to intervene to stop this psychiatric assault on Ms. Ratnamala now. I am copying this letter to hospital authorities and human rights advocates concerned about violations of Ms. Ratnamala's human rights. I look forward to your reply. That was written September 5th, only 5 days ago. We just heard that Ms. Ratnamala is free. She's no longer forcibly drugged. And a shout out, if you're listening to this, Geeta, it's wonderful news, and you are a hero with your courage of resisting. And my very... a big shout-out and thanks to those groups and individuals that came and spoke out to support your human right to be free of forced drugging and other forced psychiatric procedures. So that's basically the issues that I wanted to say. And I have... And by the way, I hope to interview Ms. Ratnamala on this station, CKLN. You're listening to CKLN, in case you didn't know, but I hope you do, 88.1 FM, 2 weeks from today. We just have to confirm that with Ms. Ratnamala, but I think it'll be a great interview. So I look forward to that. And a quick announcement. We have a little time, Mark. Just a quick announcement. There will be a dedication. There will be an unveiling ceremony at Queen Street Mental Health Center, well, now known as CAMH, at the corner of Shaw and Queen on September 25th, to commemorate the exploitation of psychiatric prisoners, otherwise called patients, who built those damn walls that still exist. They wanted to tear it down to destroy the evidence, but many of us in the Psychiatric Survivor Archives of Toronto, which I'm a proud member, protested successfully, and they're going to leave one wall up, and we're going to put plaques up, and the public will see them as to document the fact of how many patients were used as for unpaid labor. They were exploited. They weren't paid a cent for doing hard work, bricklaying work. Well, what they were doing is the province of Ontario, with help of the lunatic asylum or of Toronto at that time in the 1880s and 90s, were saving money, probably over $1 million, by using patients as bricklayers and not paying them. So, that to commemorate this important historical event, please show up if you've got any time, Saturday, September 25th, this year, 1 p.m., that's 2 weeks from tomorrow, at the corner of Queen Street West and Shaw. A tour of the wall and 9 plaques will follow the dedication ceremony, thanks to historian Jeffrey Rayo. And this is sponsored by the Psychiatric Survivor Archives of Toronto, CAMH, and the generous support of many donors. And for more information, you can call 416-595-6015 or 416-661-9975. And that's it. I'm out of here until 2 weeks from today. Stay tuned. Lock that dial to Maria Elena Escobar and Ventana Barrios. And it's a great program. So thank you, friends. Stay free and keep fighting for your rights. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye for now.